Should we go ahead?
Who wants what?
Should we go ahead and throw an introduction in front of this so the rest of this is official podcast stuff?
Sure.
All right, everybody ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, get all your cusses out now.
Ah, shit, fuck.
Motherfucking cunt, suck. All right. Hey, the folks actually into the BAMF podcast, this is Mike Lafferty, and today we are doing a special, I guess we'll call it actual play slash demo of Supers, the comic book RPG, run by Mr. Walt Rebilliard. We're going to be playing part two of the Extreme Earth Adventure. And we were about to figure out who's going to play what character. I guess we should introduce everybody. Obviously, Walt's here. Say hi, Walt.
Hi, Walt.
And we've got Mr. Aid Smith.
Hello there.
And we've got the godfather of Extreme Earth. That would be Mr. John Gibbons.
Hi, guys.
Hey, hey. All right, so introductions out of the way. Who wants to play what character and what are our choices?
All of the wolf pack is present. So we have Gunner, Hammer, Mojo, Nightshade, and Punchbag.
Hmm.
Well, Aid, you go first. Who do you want?
I will take Nightshade, if that's all right. As we didn't get, she didn't get used last time, so we shall have somebody different this time around.
She's the ninja lady, right?
Correct.
With darkness control powers?
Mind control powers.
Okay, cool. John, who would you like?
Well, let's see. I played Mojo last time, so I think this time I will go with Gunner.
Okay.
Nice.
So that leaves me with either Hammer or Mojo.
Or Punchbag.
Or Punchbag. Who's going to be the most use in a fight?
Hammer.
Hammer, all right. I'll play Hammer again. It's Hammer time.
Never gets old.
I know I've used that joke before. I should just tell myself, hey, Mike, that really obvious joke you're thinking of, you probably made it before and you were just drinking at the time and can't remember it.
Yeah, but it's too obvious. It's too much of a given that you have to do it every time.
Yeah, it's terrible. Okay, so where are we going to see? We're using Roll 20. Do we have the things uploaded somewhere?
Yeah, check your. I just transferred control. So check the. If you go to the third icon from the left, that should have character sheets and stuff. That should be showing up in your character sheet.
Third icon from the left. You mean fourth icon from the left? No, you don't.
Second.
No, the one that says journal.
Okay.
The one that says journal.
Because I have jukebox, chat.
Yeah. Second one.
Okay. Oh. In the journal so far, I have nothing apart from a set the mood image.
That shouldn't be showing up.
I have a token called Hammer.
Yeah, I'm working on those, so let's see what's going on.
We have tokens.
Tokens are hitting the board right now.
Hey guys, I have a phone call from work. I have to jump on. So can you continue without me? I'll join back in as soon as possible.
No, yeah, problem.
Absolutely.
All right.
And then Nightshade.
I'm actually a super virgin, Walt.
Really?
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
I will try to be gentle.
I'm a super virgin. I bet you popped your telly a long time ago, didn't you, Aid, with Supers?
I've played it once or twice, and obviously did the layout for the book, so I know a fair bit about it. So. it's a very, very simple to use system, so you should find it pretty easy, yeah.
Yeah, I think I listened to one of the other podcasts when you did an actual play. I think the thing I liked about it was the way that you can use different methods to defend, can't you?
Exactly, well, yeah.
Not only that, but you don't have to, you don't have to take the standard, I get hit, I take damage off my body kind of deal. Like, for example, you get shot at, and, the guy gets a really good roll, and instead of saying that, you as the player says, instead of I get this damage taken from my fortitude, which would be, your health and whatnot. You instead say, I take it from my composure or my will. So the shot got so close, it rattled you and damaged your will to fight or your composure under fire.
So when you were designing that, because obviously that sounds to me almost like you could really, really drag fights on for quite a long time until finally you run out of things to take, soak up the damage, you know, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, well, it also depends on, because you're not taking like one point at a time. If you get a really good roll and really trump the success that was done to you, so if you roll over that target number in such a spectacular way, you could do, you know, 2, 3, depending on the roll. I mean, in some cases, even 4 dice worth of damage. You know, you could take somebody out in one shot, depending on what attribute they decide to take that damage from.
Yeah.
So, let's see. I am trying to assign these characters or these character sheets. And
you may need to do both. Can be viewed the both the options on the.
And in the player's journal. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
There we go.
All right. This one's edited by one's in natural journal. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I can see a picture now. Let's click on that. Yes. There we go. I can
now
see character sheets.
Now we are.
Very nice. Very nice.
Cooking with gas. See, the only thing I don't like is for some reason it cut off Gunner's head.
He's cut a bit of his quiff off, but not much.
Thanks, Shade. Yours is coming up right now, Aid.
No problem.
And in yours.
Fantastic.
All right. Should we wait for Mike to voice back in or just get rolling?
I say let's get going.
Okay, so for those at home who can't see this because, you know, showing an image is really bad radio, there is the excellent image from the Extreme Earth Kickstarter that had gone on for a little while. It's an image of a massive control center, and in the foreground you have a Agent of Fist standing very defiant, so you don't exactly sneak up behind the people in the background. In the background, you have a huge control center video panel showing the map of the world with several hotspots around. And you also see several technicians sitting down. It's very dark and moody. And you know, the only light coming in from those characters in the background are coming off of those video screens. And so very, very evocative image. And this adventure takes place shortly after everybody has recovered from the excellent adventure run by Mr. Aid Smith on the last episodes, where a base was infiltrated and information was given. So after a few days after everybody recovers and gets their win back, you guys are transported to Thule Air Base in Northwest Greenland, where you enter that control room and basically are ushered into a meeting with several high-ranking members of FIST. When you guys get to the table, your briefing table, an assistant ushers you to sit down, starts handing you dossiers, maps, locations set by satellite. I assume everybody sits down and settles in quietly or in standard Wolfpack fashion.
No, I mean, I've got a little bit of respect for the terrain, if you know what I mean. It's what I'm used to, so I will quietly sit down.
Yeah, I'm happy to brood in a dark corner somewhere.
I will choose to not derail the game during the introductory briefing.
Yes. I'll throw a hissy fit straight away and just brood inside
things. There's a reason why he's chosen that character again, isn't there?
It's not green here at all. You lied to me. Let's continue.
A person with what looks like a business suit. It seems finely tailored, definitely not off the rack, very expensive, with a Bluetooth headset set in his ear, turns around, says, "Gentlemen, I'm not going to mince words. We are just going to get right down to the point. Okay, Wolfpack, you managed to pull off the first part of this mission, and let's see if you can handle the second. The USS North Dakota, a Virgin-class fast attack submarine, has been diverted from its North Atlantic patrol duties to monitor and intercept any non-U.S. subs found to be leaving the area. You're going to be on this submarine, and from here, you're going to make your way to Deep Core Base and infiltrate the ventilation system found on the surface. Once inside, you're to determine just what Mantis is planning to do with their submarine. You're going to place 4 detonation charges in locations where they can do the most damage and then get yourselves the hell out of there. A direct assault has been put on hold until we can determine just what Mantis has planned for this sub. This will only last for 3 hours from the time you report in that you've reached the base until we are ordered to rain down unholy hell on the bastards and reduce the base to rubble. You best not be there when that happens. Hopefully before all of this, you're going to be able to determine just what they're up to. Eliminate any Mantis threats and place charges of your own at key areas of the complex for a more controlled end to this situation. So gear up, get ready, and don't forget, it's cold as hell out there.
Well, aye, sir. I'll turn to Hammer and say, get your thermals on. He stares at me, obviously, not even knowing what his name is. He said, hello, Hammer.
Hi, Gunner. I'm Scottish for this mission. Do you know what they call them? Kilts. Because they killed any man who called them a skirt.
Isn't a Hammer Irish?
Yeah, sorry.
The assistant ushers you guys into a series of briefings where they start talking about climatization and all this other junk, and then they start bringing you down to an equipment locker so you guys can get suited up and grab anything that you need. They suggest extreme cold weather gear, obviously, although Hammer, due to his enhanced physiology, might not need it. They still tell him it's probably best to suit up and get warm.
Okay, I will do so.
Do you bring anything else? Is there anything that you guys want to take other than your standard loadout? Climbing gear?
Yeah, several ropes would be a good idea. Probably a spade or a shovel and maybe some other stuff just so we can dig away in case we need to dig away out of anything or if the ventilation shafts are covered over or anything like that.
All right.
Yeah, let's take some hand flares if possible.
Good idea, yeah.
And I suppose, just in case we get stuck out in the snow, have they got kind of like a couple of small portable tents, 2-man tents, just in case?
Yep, they can definitely furnish those. And the tents that they do have, the Arctic tents, they have 2-man tents and they have a 4-man tent. The equipment technician recommends the 2-man tents. Gunner and Nightshade can share one, and Hammer can have one all to himself.
Oh, that sounds like a plan.
Sounds lonely.
Well, I think you're too big. Yeah, not for
it's okay. I'll come find you guys
for a little Arctic snuggle.
Well, as we're kind of like piling up this equipment, you know, it'd be a case of drag it out the locker and throw it onto Hammer's back because he can carry it all.
Bah.
Stop complaining. Get it on.
Could I get one of those chuck it sticks and a bag full of grenades?
No, you can't get a bag full of grenades.
That's what you always say, Gunner.
Not a good idea.
All right, fine.
So, in keeping with that, are there any additional weapon requests other than what you guys have?
I've got my sword and pistol, unless I'm mistaken.
Yep. For those not familiar with supers, we're looking at the character sheets now. If you have a skill that requires a weapon to use in the system, it's usually assumed, unless you state otherwise, that those weapons are present on the character.
Yes, so if I have the driving tank skill, unlikely to be using in this adventure.
Right, most likely you're not going to have a tank, but if you have a shooting skill or a blade skill, yep. you can definitely use those.
Which is all good, so yeah. Probably some kind of, shooting would cover everything gun-wise, or is it broken down to pistols and assault rifles, that kind of thing?
Well, you would just tell me ahead of time what you're actually carrying.
Cool. Will take something like a small automatic, kind of like a MAC-10 kind of size machine pistol kind of thing.
Gotcha. Anybody else?
I'm pretty tooled up anyway, because obviously I've got my cybernetic weapons. So I don't need to carry any additional weapons at all. Although, maybe a few smoke grenades, Walt?
Absolutely.
Okay, so, I'll grab a few sort of, you know, lobby smoke grenades.
And let's see. I don't know. Can you edit those sheets? You can edit them, right?
I've got an edit button. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want, just go ahead and... if you've got any type of notes section or just at the bottom of the sheet, you can go ahead and just add those grenades in there.
Okay.
So if you need to know what the stats for a smoke grenade are, just let me know and we can definitely work that out.
Okay, so I say 3x smoke grenades.
Sure, there you go.
Something like 10 hand flares.
Okay, yep.
Okay.
And anybody else?
So I think I'm good with my standard equipment.
All right.
So we've got cold weather gear that includes things like sort of ski masks and that kind of stuff, have we?
Yep, absolutely. Ski masks, any type of like thermal undergarments in addition to heavy Gore-Tex rigging, boots, cold weather boots that you can, all that heavy gear that you can shed once you enter the facility.
Okay. Have we got a comm link between each other?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. And have we got the kind of like a sort of GPS kind of tracker if we need to get out and get out of there, that kind of stuff?
Yep, we can do that too. Okay. Plus, your comm link will also link to your mission commander. So, almost like Oracle when she works with Batman. Yeah. You'll have somebody providing Overwatch and minor cover to give you guys a hand. But the liaison that you're working with tells you that it's best to make those communications very short and very infrequent.
So we know then that this is some kind of Arctic base for Mantis, the terrorist organization. Somewhere in that base, presumably under the ice, is going to be some kind of this stolen or...
Chinese submarine,
and an unknown number of possible Mantis agents and possibly other things as well.
Yes, sir.
Okay, right, okay. That sounds interesting.
Okay, what do we want to do with the explosives? Do we want to split them between us, or do we want somebody to carry them all? If we get separated, then, if someone can nip off and plant an explosive while the other two are dealing with bad guys, then that might be worthwhile. But if someone's got all of them on their backs, then they obviously can't do that.
Yeah, good idea. How easy are the explosives to set and charge, Walt?
They've made this very easy for you. So the explosives are roughly the size of a very small laptop. So maybe 10 inches long by about 9 inches wide and about 2 inches thick. It has pitons that can fire into ice so that you can put it to a non-magnetic surface, and also has magnets that you can just slap it to a wall or something like that. Okay. Once it's set, it's a simple press the activator, and you have a certain amount of time to get out. And okay. you just set the timer for whatever you want. So they've made it very, very simple so that even Hammer can do it.
So how many charges have we got, you say, four?
Yes, four charges.
Okay, well, I'll carry two, and then I'll give the other two to Hammer and Nightshade.
Okay.
So these are the kind of charges that won't accidentally go off if you drop them?
The casing will either will also be able to stop everything up to small arms fire. So if it gets shot, it's not going to detonate.
Cool.
How about a sledgehammer?
Depends who's swinging it. You swing it, we might have to talk.
All right.
Don't try.
All right.
So do you guys rig up and get ready to go?
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
Yes.
I put the explosive in my backpack. I'll look around, see if anyone's looking. Put it back in my backpack.
Okay. So, come on. Do you guys see the next handout that's coming in?
Not yet.
Not yet.
That's weird. It's not working.
I got set the mood and I got my character sheet and that's it.
Yep.
Let's see. Let's try this again. Nothing. Oh, good. If you guys look in the chat window, I'm going to throw out a link.
Okay, dope. Yep. Ah.
All right, and for those of us playing along at home, the image that they're seeing is of a large ice pack and a submarine moving under the ice.
Nice.
You guys are now aboard the USS North Dakota. You've been moving for several hours and trying to stay out of the way as much as possible. Submarines are very enclosed environments, and every inch of available space is used. The service personnel are constantly apologizing as they come into the guest bunks that you guys have been assigned and lifting your bunks up and asking you to move so that they can get stuff like canned peas for dinner or extra maps extra space that would normally not be used in a barracks type environment are used in a submarine. What seems to be an eternity, you have a lieutenant commander come down and rap on the bulkhead, trying to get your attention.
I'll stand up.
You would be Gunner?
Yes, sir.
CO wants to see you up top, you and your team.
Actually, I'm Gunner.
Well, between the two gunners, can you please get your team upstairs?
Okay.
Okay.
Happy
come
to
on.
Go.
Yeah, head up.
Moving through the bulkheads and stuff, the service personnel do as much as they can to try and make way as you guys move down. There's a lot of excuse me, pardon me, sorry about that, sir. As Hammer is wide. More wide than is normally accommodated in a submarine. You guys make it up to the control station, and an officer in what looks like a blue flight suit turns around, says, "Gentlemen, can you come here, please?"
Head over.
"I am Captain Hastings. I did not have time to brief you before we left station. We are coming up on your drop-off point, and we are going to be surfacing through the ice pack. Do you require any type of additional security to go with you on this mission, or are you getting this, you guys going to make your way in your own?"
I think anyone else would slow us down.
"Yes, ma'am. We are going to, once we break the ice pack, we are going to get into a position that will allow you free movement through the ice. We are going to give you an inflatable Zodiac, And I trust some of you guys know how to operate a boat.
I must do. I used to be a Marine. Surely, surely.
Wait, the smartest guy in our unit's a Marine? No wonder they call us the Expendables. Okay, all right.
I've got military two dice.
Yeah, oh yeah, you'll more than likely be able to handle a Zodiac. You've probably dealt with these plenty of times during your stint in the Corps. So, you know, he nods. You hear a small alarm sound to rig for showing stations. Basically, they want everybody to get to their positions. There's loud creaking noises and followed by what sounds like big logs breaking. There's some shuddering.
Burrito night.
There's shuddering and cavitation in the submarine as things start to break open, and then about 10 minutes in, everything kind of settles down. Captain Hastings turns to you and says, "All right, need you to follow the Cobb," and he points to a guy and who nods to you. He goes, "He's taking you up."
Okay.
You guys,
follow him. I'll turn towards Hammer and say, "Shouldn't you be making kind of jokes about the Hunt for Red October or dodgy Russian accents by Scottish actors?"
I'm not that old. That movie came out a long time ago, Gunner.
Okay. Well, I thought it was a good movie.
Fair enough. All right, we follow the guy out of the boat.
Okay. He leads you out to the the area where they start being able to get you guys to climb up. You start going through the riggings, making your way out. They crack the exit tower from the submarine and you get like a little bit of light, almost not total darkness, not total moonlight, and not true sun up, but a little bit in between. You can hear people on the outside of the skin of the boat start moving in and around, and you can hear something that sounds like the movement of rigging outside. Do you guys climb up?
Absolutely.
Well, all right. Yes, sir.
Yes, yes. That was great.
All right. So, once again, if you can check the chat window for another link, because for some reason I can't get the handouts to pass out for some reason.
Chat window. Okay.
Dun, dun, dun. Cool. Cool.
Okay. So, to those at home, you see a submarine broken through the ice, and you see a person on the outside with a flashlight, basically checking out not only the skin of the boat, but also how it's broken through the ice. And you have several personnel on the ice that are looking for clear water to place the Zodiac. And then there you go, Mike. On the front of the boat, there's almost like a giant bay door that appears to be open, and you got several personnel on the skin on the outside that are unloading and inflating what looks like a Zodiac boat.
Okay, so let me get this clear then. When does the 3-hour clock start ticking down to the airstrike on the base?
According to what the gentleman in the briefing had told you, once you guys signal that you're in the station, okay, they're gonna start the clock.
Right. Okay. So so we have got a bit of time. We can, you know, we don't have to charge full frontal to this place now, do we? We can plan.
Right. Yeah. They're not gonna start the clock until you break the seal in the place, because they don't want to. They want you guys to come out of this intact. They've spent a lot of money, especially on you, Gunner, and they don't want to waste that investment.
Steve Austin's got nothing on me. $1 million man. You wouldn't get much for a million nowadays, would you? $1 million man.
That's true, yeah. It's a pair of Google specs.
Not much. Okay, so I'll speak to this officer who's guiding us down the tower, and I'll basically say, you know, how far are we from the base? Have we been given coordinates for our GPSs? You know, what's the situation?
Yep, they drag the Zodiac down onto the ice, and once you guys get out, like actually out and away from the boat, it's really then that the cold, when it hits your face, that it really hits your face. You estimate somewhere in the vicinity of negative 20 to negative 30. Negative 20 to negative negative 15 degrees centigrade.
Nice.
So it's really cold.
Is it English then?
What's that?
An English summer.
Well, we got two people on the podcast who are from, you know, the Isles, and I just want to make sure that, you know, we're good to our friends. It's all good. So probably about 25 to 30 below Fahrenheit. It's really cold.
Okay.
So, it looks like
fall in the water, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to last long. Well, you guys might last long because you guys are wearing what amounts to a skin suit or a wetsuit underneath all of this to try and help retain body heat. So you guys might survive for 60 seconds to about 2 minutes, depending. But you know, it's just going to be long enough to get you into where you're going to go. They drop the boat into the water, and then you guys start trucking. There's a GPS that they hand to you, Gunner, and it's already programmed.
Okay, well, I will get behind the wheel of the vessel. Is it has it got like a small motor and a wheel on this craft, or is it like a rudder and a propeller on the back? It's got to sit down.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. Rudder and propeller on the back where you got to sit down.
Okay, I will take the seat, start the thing up.
And it's very quiet. It's a light hum. So, especially with the wind, unless you're right on top of this thing, you're not going to listen. You're not going to hear it.
Okay. Good.
All right. So you guys start heading off, and when you're probably about 250 meters away, you can see all of the personnel scurrying back to the sub, and you know the wind and the water pretty much obscures all the sound of the sub. Submerging and dropping back out of sight. Mm-hmm.
Is a stink bomb in a submarine like the worst thing ever?
I would assume not. Maybe for the people in the immediate vicinity, but those things have pretty good recycle systems, air recycling systems. So you might drive somebody mental for a few minutes, but you're not going to...
You get used to it, though, don't you? I mean, I think it's for the poor guys on dock who open up the hatch for the first time and let all the air out. You know, they're the guys who suffer.
You know, and I bet taco night on a sub is really interesting.
So we are in the Scorpio boat.
Yep.
And you travel for about 30 to 35 minutes before... You estimate that there's a small rise where you could drop the boat and then start making your way inland.
Okay, we will do so.
All right. And you get to the top of the rise. It comes up about, I would say, 50 feet, 55 feet, somewhere around there. And it's almost like a small rolling hill of ice and snow. You climb that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Off in the distance, you can see what looks like a Arctic weather station. Mm-hmm. So it's about 100 meters down from the base of the hill. For those following along at home, there's another image being uploaded, and that image is of a orange structure, probably about 10 meters across and about 3 meters wide. It's got antennas on top, wires securing it into the snow, and several exhaust ports. There's pretty much, after you guys get over that hill, you're pretty much in wide open terrain. But you're still looking at early morning nautical twilight. So it's the you've arrived at pretty much the darkest time where it's very difficult to see.
Is it completely flat, or is there like disturbances that have kind of caused little kind of pieces of ice to be at angles from the thing, or are we going to have trouble getting across here without being spotted?
Nope, there are like little divots, small fissures that you guys could crawl through, and periodic breaks in the ice that could conceal you as you move forward. Off in the distance, you can see several people moving around. With the darkness and the distance, you're not going to be able to make out too much from here, unless you have some sort of spy gear, like you know, big time binoculars, or maybe cyber enhanced senses.
Oh, maybe a cybernetic eye. Yeah. Okay. Well, I will sort of move my hair to one side and let Nightshade look at the back of my head to see, you know, to see from behind. Okay, I will use my cyber eye, which should have a bit of telescopic vision and I believe a little bit of night or infrared vision as well. Try and pick up these ships, get a close look.
And I assume that that's in the macros down below?
No, I've got no macros on the sheet, on the page at all.
Oh, that's disturbing. Silly roll 20. Let me fix that real quick.
They're on the sheet on your attributes and abilities. You just need to tick them off on the to show in macro bar on the left hand side.
Okie doke, right. So show in macro bar, weapon arms, strength. There we go. I don't think I'll click the academics. I don't think I'll need that. Fighting, maybe. Military, shooting. Okay, that's it.
Excellent.
Right, okay, so I need to go Gunner Super Senses, I believe.
Those are the ones.
Okay, so let's click on that. 2d6.
Yep, and a 6. All right, so...
Gosh, you know what? I forget. So what are the dice that we roll in Super Zen World? What's the dice rolling system like?
All right, so for those that aren't familiar, Supers is a dice pool system that uses d6, and... I will give you the lengthiest, most accurate version of how the mechanics work. You roll your dice, I roll my dice, whoever gets higher wins. There you go.
Okay.
So normally there is just a simple target number when it's an unopposed roll. The target number for this particular challenge was 3, which you succeeded very well. And you can see clearly there are 4 personnel down on the ground servicing one of those exhaust vents.
Yeah.
Around them you have what look like several other shapes a little bit further out and 2 that are closer. They look like wearing heavy Arctic gear, enclosed helmets, carrying strange-looking rifles. And they look like they're patrolling in an irregular pattern.
So something we can't anticipate.
It looks like at first that they're moving in a figure eight pattern, and then where they cross in the middle, diverse and spread out over wide terrain later. But after about 3 or 4 minutes of watching, the pattern changes.
Can I see any Mantis logos or insignia on their uniforms?
Why, yes, you can.
So we know we're in the right place at least.
Yeah, it's not some Arctic expedition.
Yeah,
no, it's not blowing them up.
Some Arctic service. So all in all then, how many figures can we see within the immediate vicinity, say within 100 metres of this this building?
8 total.
God. Damn. Oh, dear me. Now, the trick here, guys, I suppose, is we need to get into the base as best as we can unnoticed. because we don't want to be climbing down vent shafts when the alarms are blazing below, because we're going to pop into a room and find ourselves surrounded.
Yep.
Now, Nightshade, with your telepathic powers, which I know quite a lot about, is there any potential for you to get us in there, you know?
Okay, so my telepathic powers are limited to eye contact only and only on mouths. So I need to get very, very close before I can use them.
Okay. So looking at this structure then, Walt, realistically, you know, I've got, you know, I'm a guy who's got lots of tactical experience. You know, do I think we've got a chance of being able to sneak past and get to this construct, this building unseen? What do I think the odds are?
You figure that if you time it right and use the terrain, you will have no problem moving up to the structure.
Okay.
The difficulty is going to be actually getting to the structure. Once you get close, is like getting inside, because if you look at the image that was posted, yeah, you have a single door. And the rest of it is enclosed, so there's no other entrances or exits. And they are on the right side of this, dealing what looks like a large PVC pipe. It looks like it's cracked, and they're trying to replace it.
Okay. How tall is the building, Walt?
You estimate no more than about 8 or 9 feet.
But if he was lying on top of the building, he won't be seen by people around it.
Correct. They're looking down anyway. They're not paying particularly attention to you.
Okay.
If we disguise ourselves as penguins. All on my lead.
Okay. Hammer's getting impatient, right? Can you put the figures on the map, Walt?
Can you see them?
No, all I can see is kind of like a blue object.
All right. Let's see. Give me 1 second, and we'll work that out.
So click show macro quick bar. Where else do you need to click to see macros in a useful place?
You can either put them in the quick bar on the bottom of the screen, or if you put them on as a token action, they will show up at the top of the screen if you have your token selected.
Okay, all right.
Either works.
Yeah, I've just clicked the macro bar one, so they're on the bottom. I do like this Roll 20. It's a damn good tool.
Yeah, I use it every week.
Yeah.
Can you see what's appearing on the screen now?
I don't see anything.
So I have a blank screen apart from three characters.
All right, yeah, there we go.
Oh, and a little blue thing, yes, in the top left-hand corner.
Yeah, I can see the blue thing in the top right. Which I presume some kind of pipe or something, is it? I don't know.
Let's see.
If I scroll way out, I can see that.
Can you see the three? Are you guys still seeing that? Those three the three characters with the blue thing. Is that what you're saying? You're not seeing the new map?
No. All I can see is us and the blue thing.
This is killing me. All right, let's see. Hold on 1 second, and I don't know why it's not working.
Is this something that we've got to do? Anything we've got to do our side?
What are you dragging to a new map, or are you just putting a map on here?
I'm clicking on the map, trying to get it to show to everybody.
Is it a actual map for where the tokens are sitting on?
Yeah. Yeah, there's...
And you're on the right, with the little bookmarky thing, that's on the right screen. Got to drag that.
There we go.
Top. Open the thing.
There we go.
Right, so yes, so you may have to go back. I have three bad guys on my screen now.
Yeah, so do I.
There we go.
Okay. So you may need to copy your tokens across from the last screen to this screen, because we have no tokens.
I am working that right now. Alright. And made it increasingly difficult with a cat trying to get in my lap. And no, that is not a euphemism.
I know.
Alright, so... Where is it going? Hold on one second. Gotta get the blue thing back. Alright, so you have broken terrain, you have three commandos that are close, and what look like four technicians working on the structure.
Okay, so I'm going to use, I'm going to carry on my senses. I want to look at the technicians, I want to look at these commando guys, and I want to determine, you know, how armoured they are, if they look like they're carrying weapons. I mean, obviously the big guys seem to be. You know, just try and gauge them and just see what I think are the viable threats.
Okay, it looks like your biggest problem are going to be your commandos. They are definitely decked out in Arctic gear. The weapons look strange. I am posting a link now. So you should see that. I'm sure John will have no clue where these came from.
Yes, sir. What's all these guys here?
I've got no access.
Ah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Me too.
I can fix that. So, lots of Arctic gear. You're looking at very strange weapons, rifles. It looks like they might be carrying some sort of grenade across the chest.
Okay. And they've got these tanks on the back as well, have they?
Yes, they do.
So they look like flamethrowers. That's what you would presume they were.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, to keep warm in the environment, or or roast marshmallows.
Okay, so you think we're going to make it across here without being spotted?
Oh.
Or are we going to have to grenade some and then take the other guys out whilst we kind of the other guys recover? Because I think getting past eight people is going to be a stretch on...
I think the key is the fact that whatever we do, we have to ensure that no one gets back down through that door and down below.
Yes.
So I think it's inevitable. I don't think we're going to all be able to sneak past. It's inevitable we're going to sort of hit trouble. But I think as long as at least one of us, or somehow if we can get to the building unseen before we kick off, so we can kind of like, you know, protect the door and just keep them out and deal with them.
Yeah, I think we need to get at least within combat range before we're spotted, otherwise we're just going to end up being picked off before we can get near the place.
Yeah, it's a shame that Mojo's not with us, because Mojo could have somehow sort of disrupted comms or something, but you know, it's one of those.
Well, you also Hammer, does Hammer have it? Well, nope. If you guys make an awareness check with a target of 3, and for those who don't have it, awareness would only be at 1 dice.
Okay.
So you would just roll 1d6. So right in the chat window, you could just roll it right there. Okay. Or just use...
Okay, I'm just trying. Let me dig up my character sheet again. Let's see. Aptitudes, athleticism. I don't have it.
If you don't have it listed, it's just a regular 1d6 roll. So if you just bring up the die roller and just roll 1d6.
I just did.
Yeah.
Oh, yep, that's typical. I think Nightshade has it.
What's that, sir?
I think Nightshade has awareness.
Yep. There you go.
All right. And, all right, so both Gunner and Nightshade remember that you guys have on station a technical assistant ready and willing to help you.
Can he cut the comms?
You assume so?
Well, I would get on the comm, back to control, and I will say, if possible, we want a complete communications blackout within a 100-meter radius of the building we're looking at, and no doubt you're looking at via satellite.
The tech comes back on and says that, Gunner, this is control. We have been monitoring transmissions, sporadic transmissions from the enemy. We can ascertain that surface transmissions are currently being interrupted. They're having problems with the ventilation shaft that they were sent to repair, but also they have a down transmitter. So it looks like they've already reported in earlier that transmissions will be down for the next 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay, that's our window.
Okay. I just think, though, guys, we need to get to that door because we can't have to, even if they've got no radio contact, all it takes is one technician to just crap himself and go, right, that's it, get out. We're in trouble, aren't we? So I think the idea is if we try and sneak to the door, you know, if we get spotted, then there's not much we can do about it. But I suppose, I don't know, that's my plan. I reckon we try and outskirt three commandos and try and get close to the building.
So who has stealth as a skill?
That would be you.
Yeah.
Not I.
No, exactly. Yes.
Neither do I.
Okay, so if I attempt to get near at least somebody's nearby before it all goes pear-shaped, that would be a good start.
Yeah, so maybe you can get to the building and use your man control powers against those technicians. In the meantime, Gunnar and myself can make a frontal attack against the three commandos. I don't know.
Okay, so I would take like a southeast from where we are now, heading off kind of here-ish.
Yeah, okay.
And then kind of circle around and hopefully get to the back of the building without being spotted by the bad guys.
Yeah. Well, myself and Hammer will just pretty much head straight east, trying to keep ourselves hidden until obviously we don't make it, because I just don't think Hammer's going to be hidden too long. But try to get as close as we can. But I think the idea is that we'll keep an eye on Nightshade, because even though she's been using stealth, obviously we know where she is, we're watching her. And I think as soon as it looks like she's spotted or she gives us some kind of signal, you know, on our comms, we'll make the attack.
If you guys look at the map, I just drew several just lines to kind of point out where everything is. So you guys are behind this hill, kind of looking down. You got several rises that look just like squiggles where you can be concealed from sight. And then on the lower side of the map, there's what looks to be a ridgeline. So where there's a small fissure,
yeah,
probably that you could crawl through. It's not very big. It's probably 3-4 feet high. But if you crawled through, you would get a lot closer than you are now.
Okay, so maybe that's Nightshade's route. Across the long fissure at the bottom, myself and Gunnar will make it to. What's the thing that looks like? It looks like it's marked of a T. I don't know if that's just where you were drawing it or it's.
That was supposed to be an arrow. Using my mouse, it didn't happen. So that's got a lot of elevation to it. So that's probably about 20 feet high. It looks like something might have come through the ice at one point and created. Not really a hill, but just a spike in the ice that's a good 20 feet high. So
from that little sort of hilltop, then, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not fail with the sort of range factors of supers, but with my firearm skills and my weapons, you know, can I quite happily sit on there and sort of like rain hell quite easily at those kind of like commandos, or am I going to be at penalties due to range?
Everything right now with your weaponry is those three commandos that are dark.
Yeah,
those guys are all within your range comfortably. You might have a little more difficulty reaching the guys that are at the shack.
Okay, so I mean, I could get to the top of the hill. I can use my sniper rifle. I can use grenade launcher.
Absolutely.
Maybe, yeah, Nightshade maybe goes down south and Gunner just goes in there. I don't know. That's why Hammer just goes in there.
Yep, absolutely. And every few minutes, you see, you know, the configuration change. So, you know, as they continue to walk around.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stand up and say it's far too cold. Let's get moving. And I'm just going to make a jog using as much stealth as I can to put myself there.
Your tauntaun will freeze before you reach the first marker.
Keep going.
All right. So you just made your move. How do everybody else want to move?
Cool. So I will make my way this direction.
Okay. That's going to take just a few minutes, especially if you're trying not to be seen.
Yeah. Go as slow as possible. Obviously, I will use my stealth skill. If these two guys are going to get spotted, I will still stealth my way around to hopefully give a surprise attack from the kind of the right-hand side.
Okay.
Okay, so I will have remembered how many minutes we were told the comms were down for, and that will be set on my watch with a minute's grace. So when that minute, when it gets to a minute before they can open comms, we've got to be in there. We've got to be dealing with stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. As it stands right now, you've only burned about 2 minutes with all that movement. Hammer, where are you moving to?
Sorry, I stepped away for just 1 second. That was a work thing. All right, so everyone else is moving stealthily towards the commandos.
Yeah.
I'm still hanging back behind the ice sheet. I guess I'm going to try to be intelligent, not do anything too hammer-like for the time being. I'll kind of shadow Gunner for the time being until it's time to hit somebody with a big hammer. So
I'll just keep saying to Hammer, you know, when I give you the signal, go. Don't go until I give you the signal. The signal is me saying go, okay?
No stick fighting until a big man says go. I understand. Okay. I thought these things smelled bad on the outside.
Come on, move yourself up then.
Trying. Hey, I'm right on top of you. How about that?
Not now.
Okay, do you want to be in front or in back?
I will be in front.
Okay, all right, there you go. Oh, there you go. Now I'm the big spoon. So,
all right, so for those
I will hunker down and I will use the nanotechnology in my arm and transform it into a long-range sniper's rifle.
Okay. After doing that, and once you guys are in the position that you're in now, you're looking at about 3.5 minutes down. So with your 10-minute window, you have just a little bit to go. The technicians are pretty much static. It seems, and for those following along at home, on the left side of the grid, you have they just left a ridge and are moving past several different ice structures to stay hidden, with Gunner and Hammer in the middle and Nightshade moving down below. There are three guards kind of in almost like a lazy wedge formation, and then just off there's the shack with four technicians around it. Off of the map, you can still see shapes moving around, but they haven't, except for Gunner, they're not really in your field of vision to adequately tell what they are. Gunner, you know they're more of those commandos out there. Just patrolling the opposite side.
Okay. We need to be quick, don't we?
Okay, so this guy here.
Yes.
I'm going to try and make my way along this ridge to get as near to him as possible to maybe spring out once the shooting starts.
Okay. Go ahead and make that move.
Make me a stealth roll, or?
Yep. Once you set your character, go ahead and make your stealth roll. Your target number is a 3.
Hey.
Ooh, easy.
A 13. No problem.
A 13. So if you want, that is a massive success. So if you want, you can, and the way successes work, for every 6 over the target number that you roll, you get a success. So you have quite a bit in there. So that's, what do you call it? That's a major success. So he could be looking right at you right now, and he's not going to see you.
Okay.
Probably due to, you know, the snowy conditions and all. You just use all that favorable terrain to get right up on him. And Gunner, you have the clock, so whenever you're ready, you signal.
Okay, well, I will I'll basically scope out the nearest commando to me.
Okay.
Okay, how do you do that, guys, when you click and you make a circle? How does that work?
Just hold it down left mouse button.
Did that work?
Just click over the object and then just hold it. So click and hold. There you go.
There we go.
Okay, yeah, right. Okay, well, he's the guy that I will take a shot at. I'm using my sniper's rifle. This is the signal to go, guys. I will shout go well because I think I'll
take it. Go. So I'll go, make go. Sure everyone knows.
Take the shot. So, yeah, I will try and take aim at this guy, center his mass, and take a shot.
All right.
Can you spend any extra hero points for a chance to get the two guys behind him? But
yeah. Nice, wouldn't it? Right, phrasing. I don't know what the sniper's rifle is, but 50 cal should do that.
There are, what do you call it? There are almost like a hero point mechanic in this. It's called competency dice. But the way that they were originally built for Extreme Earth, you guys don't start out with any. But they can be earned through play. So, you know, minor achievements like, you know, winning a battle or doing whatever, and then major achievements, obviously, like, you know, winning the scenario, and they can either be spent as experience, or you can spend them like action dice throughout.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. So you take a shot. They don't know you're there. And go ahead and you're going to roll that super weapon trait.
Weapon arm?
Yep, that's it.
It's got to be.
All right. So, let's see. He doesn't know. You hear the shot ring out, and it's almost like lemmings hearing a predator.
Yeah.
As everybody just kind of gets alerted that something's going on. You see... the round perforate through one and blow through the other, knocking them apart. For those at home, the two guards have just been replaced with tokens of broken, shattered guards. And, I mean, there's a large explosion as the extreme cold freezes the blood, and there's Nightshade can actually hear the sound like hail as the frozen droplets hit the snow along next to the bodies. The guy that's right beside you turns in the opposite direction to see just what happened to his buddies. What do you do?
So I will hop up onto the thing and basically just use my katana to stab the guy in the back.
Okay, go ahead.
A 12.
Oh, yeah, this isn't going to be good. You run up and tell me what happens to him.
So, yeah, I basically just push it straight through his kind of middle of his back, hopefully kind of getting his heart as it goes through.
It takes a little bit to push through the armor, but once you get through, kind of like step, you know, once you get through the crunchy coating, candy coating on the outside... soft and squishy on the inside, and he drops without much of a fuss. All of the technicians that are over here, they turn around trying to see what's going on, and now we're going to do initiative.
Cool.
Cool. So, yeah, big doings in the Soul Supers thing. initiative is done by either rolling your reaction, or if you have a trait like super speed that you'd want to use, whatever you feel is higher or could grant you the bigger success. So I couldn't get traits to load into the program to roll without just putting them aside, like powers and attributes and stuff like that. So I didn't want to overload the macros on the bottom. So if you want, just go ahead and hit your dice roller, choose the appropriate amount of D6, and roll for broke, and we'll see what happens.
I just did.
16 for 8.
16 for a hammer.
Excellent.
So where do you guys get the 4D6 from?
Go to the left-hand side of the screen where there's a little image of a D20 that brings up your dice roller, and you can use it where it says advanced roll. You can tick those little boxes up to 4D6.
Yeah, so, but how do you determine that you had 4D6? What's that off?
It's your reaction on your character sheet.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, duh.
It's all good.
Okay.
Is that Marine speak?
There we go.
And 13. Who's got the higher reaction, Mike or Aid?
I'm 46, so I think he's the same.
Yep.
All right. Aid, so
since you're a ninja, why don't you go first?
Okay. So how many of these squares can I cover in a round and have an attack?
Let's see. Do you have super speed or anything like that?
No, just book standard.
1, 2, 3, 4. You can... it, right from where you are, you can make it there, but you won't be able to have an attack.
Okay, I will do that anyway. I'll do it anyway. I'll make my way across and basically at least show menace to the guys.
All right, so you basically run up and start brandishing your blade?
Yeah.
Okay. Hammer and Gunner, what are you doing?
I think my best use at this point is to be a large distraction to try to prevent attacks on, what's your name, Aid?
Nightshade.
Nightshade and Gunner. So, well, shit. If Gunner doesn't hit my control collar, what I'm going to do is run out like a madman screaming, "Hey, do you guys know what the temperature is inside a Tauntaun? It's lukewarm."
Oh, that's awful. And I'm going to grant you a competency die for that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
if you promise not to make any more jokes like that.
Yeah, okay, all right.
So if you want, you can write that down in your character sheet, or I can keep track of it.
Okay, cool. So,
1 CD. All right. The two that are closest to you, Aid, turn and face you. The two on the opposite side, I didn't mean to do that. The two on the opposite side face Han Solo running at them.
So
Gunner, what are you doing?
Time to kill some guys.
Okay, what's the radius of my rifle grenade? My grenade launcher, sorry.
Let's see, where are you? Gunner. Alright, you have area attack 2D. So you can, you'd be able to get all of the technicians on that lower corner in the blast radius.
Okay, what about that stage?
She's just out of range. She should be okay as long as you successfully make that roll.
I was going to get grenade in the back of the head.
Okay, well, I will just quickly over the comm speak to Nightshade and just sort of say, get your head down. And that's not you to me either. Okay, right.
Just fly casual.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. From where I am, I will now stand up because I was lying prone for the sniper's rifle and just levy my arm up high up into the air and just go thump and just let off.
A little indirect fire.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm go ahead and make that roll.
A rifle grade. So up we go. So that's weapon arm again.
Yes, sir.
15.
Okay. There is a large controlled explosion. You see people get thrown a little bit. Let's see. They are going to defend with composure. And
so how does that work?
So, they're not going to defend with composure. They're going to defend with their MOOC rating. So these guys are all, henchmen.
Yeah.
They have a rating that works for everything basically. So, they use that one trait for anything that you do to them. And 13. So no, you, you blow the grenade. So the grenade goes off. It sends them flying. Each one goes about 5 to 10 feet from the explosion. The one that was closest to Nightshade, does not look like he's having a bad day. I mean, does not look like he's having a good day. He drops down. The other two, they look injured, but still like they're moving around. One of them's trying to get his bearings. It looks like they're hurt, but not dead.
Yeah. Okay.
The two that were blown apart spend their turn trying to get up, get their bearings. They have pistols. It looks like they're trying to draw pistols. The one that's in the top corner, turns around and starts yelling. Gunner, do you want to use your? Most likely. Yep. With the wind, it's really hard to make out what they're saying. Gunner, if you want, you can try to use your enhanced senses to try and filter out some of the wind to figure out what's going on.
Why not? Off we go. Oh God, a 3.
You needed a. Well, actually, you needed a 3. So this game, it's meet or beat. Yep. So you make out. He starts yelling, "Incoming enemy! We need help over here now!"
No shit.
You're looking at about 7 minutes in your comms blackout with these guys.
Okay.
What do you do next? So back to the top of the batting order. So we're going back to Aid first. Go ahead.
Okay, so can I make it to this guy and have an attack? He's only 3 squares away.
Which guy?
This guy.
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, so I will basically just dash and he said he's got pistols drawn.
Yep. So go ahead and make that roll.
I'll try and take his hand off then. Hey! Hey,
oh 20. My god! Okay, he's going to try and defend.
Shh, good luck.
With a 13, so that's a success. Tell me what happens to him.
So, yeah, if he's got his pistol in his right hand, I'm just basically just going to try and take it off of the wrist and let it fly through the air behind him.
Okay. He drops to his knees in the snow, screaming, holding what was once probably his... probably the hand that he laid down Scrabble tiles with, because, you know, what else are you going to do out here? go ahead, Hammer. What are you doing now? You have a guy here, and you have a guy with his back turned here.
All right, so smart move is probably go for the guy closest to me, because I'm not that fast. Actually, I am pretty fast, aren't I?
Yeah.
Still, let's not get cocky. This Star Wars theme has taken over everything.
It's like you guys are storming the Death Star. What
you're looking for?
I'm going to run up to this guy and use my extra competency die. I'm going to hit him in the head with a hammer.
Okay, so you're adding a competency die?
I get just one, right? I can use it for whatever I want.
Absolutely.
All right, so I have a fighting 4D for sledgehammer, so this will be a 5D in this case.
All right. Okay, and you also have... Where are you? You also have the sledgehammer super weapon as well.
Oh, that's another 4D for that?
Mm-hmm.
For a total of 9 dice?
Okay. Yep, because this one's the one that you have with you is special. Specially designed to make sure that it's not going to snap. It's not a regular sledgehammer.
All right, so I'm rolling 9d6?
5d6. Yeah, they don't stack.
All right, so 5d6. Gotcha. All right.
Yep.
That's nice.
And there we go.
Okay.
A 21. Oh, God. This guy's going to be clam chowder. All right. We have two. So. Oh. Okay, so bad guy tries to defend by dropping into the snow, and you drive him through the snow. As you retract the sledgehammer, the blood pretty much freezes, so the sledgehammer now resembles a large red spike. And he's down. So you have just this one lone guy in the corner. Gunner?
Gunner.
Uh-oh, did we lose John?
John, are you on mute?
He looks like he's still connected.
There's a problem with the call. Hold on, we'll try to get it back. Okay. We're calling John back. That's what's happening.
Yeah, get the elevator music going.
Oh, we're still recording, so we didn't lose it. It looks like, unfortunately I had to go over wireless instead of over copper for this call, so that's probably the cause. Because my work laptop doesn't do VPN over my wireless usually, which is...
Really?
Yeah, they got me a new laptop the other day. This one's only, 7 years old, so... it's much quicker in most other ways. It the VPN doesn't work well with wireless here. No response from John. Let's try calling him again. You guys still hear me?
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Okay. John is not picking up.
We may have lost him.
No.
He's not responding on this either. On roll 20.
Is he on? I do not see him on Gmail. Let me drop him a quick note. I'll CC you guys.
Excellent. The miracles of technology.
Exactly.
They suck.
You can get a guy to the Arctic, but you can't make a phone call from there.
I used to work at Raytheon. They have a tech contract for McMurdo Station.
Really?
Yeah. They do the email servers and shit down there. And I knew this guy. I won't say he drank a lot, but he was told that there were free bars at the bases in Antarctica. And he's like, you have no idea how much money that will save me. And so he signed up. They were giving him, there's a great deal of winter gear they ship you and coats and boots and everything. And, he was all set to go. And one day during his orientation talks, someone said, oh, no, you misunderstood. There are 3 bars. At the outposts in Antarctica. And he said, well, screw that. I'm staying. That's a true story.
Oh, my God. Did he end up going?
No. There wasn't free alcohol. He didn't want
no point.
No, I do know 2 other folks from there who went down there, one program manager and one literal, what's the right term for someone who manages your email admin or whatever. But
yeah.
I noticed a few details, like the New Zealanders are who you want to hang out with, because they have the only hot tub on the entire continent. If you're a lady, you're very popular. It's a sausage fest down there. And actually, that's pretty much all I know. There is a Society of Creative Anachronism outpost at McMurdo Station.
What?
Yeah, the dudes who get dressed up in armor and hit each other with sticks. There's some.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, John.
There we go.
God, what a nightmare.
What happened?
Blue screen of death.
Okay.
No.
Yes, I had to completely reboot.
Well, it happened at the worst time possible because it's your turn.
I was hoping it was all going to be over. Okay. Right. Well, I will take a sniper shot at the guy in the corner.
Gotcha. Go ahead and make that roll.
17.
Oh. And he is going to pray for his life because he can't really do too much. Oh, not good. Yeah. So, would you like to describe what happens to him?
Yeah, sure. I'll take a nice shot with the sniper's rifle. His head will disappear in a little cloud of red mist. He'll continue to walk around for a few seconds, trying to communicate via a comm link that's no longer there, as his head isn't there, before he realizes it and drops.
Yeah, that's pretty disturbing. You can see off in the distance that there look like three more of those commandos incoming.
Oh, God. Okay, well, let's stay calm. We did a very good job then. How far away do we think they are?
Probably about 25 meters. So it's going to take a minute or two for them to get there because of the snow.
Okay, so do we make a run to get into the building and see if we can lock it behind us, or do we deal with these guys now because, you know, we don't...
Take them out. If the comms go back up, they're obviously going to register that somebody's just murdered seven of their other operatives. So.
Well, I like this little crow's nest they've got on this ridge, so I'm going to remain here and just continue doing what I'm doing.
All right, and you wait for them to come in to...
Yeah, wait for them to come in range.
All right, and Aid, are you staying in place or are you moving?
I am going to move around to behind the actual building itself and kind of keep out of sight, so hopefully someone's going to pass me by and I can get the drop on them that way.
I guess I'll do the same, because standing out in the open is like a bad idea right now.
Okay. And it takes about a minute or two for them to get there through all of the snow and ice. First one shows up right around the very top. All right, and then we have three more come in from the other side. All right, they know you're there. Well, they know something's there, but they don't. They have not seen. They have not seen what exactly is going on. What do you do?
What initiative order are we in, Walt?
I'm sorry?
What initiative order are we in?
We can... it's up to you. We can either keep the same initiative or we can re-roll. I'll leave it up to you guys.
Well, why don't I start shooting from here? And if they've not seen you, they're either going to charge towards me or they're going to try and seek cover at the building where you're at and you can take them out. What do you think?
That's not a bad idea.
Sure.
Okay.
Grenades would work, obviously. Okay. It's free.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I will carry on with my sniper rifle attachment, and I will take a shot at the guy to the north.
Okay. Go ahead.
9. Not that good.
All right. He is going to defend. And succeeds with a 15.
Okay.
So you take the shot, and it whizzes right by him, and he pretty much like drops to a knee for a second. All of the commandos that came in from the south, they turn to face you. And then we got Abe, you're up.
Okay, so can I use this MAC-10 machine pistol thing that I've got to spray amongst the three, or do I have to focus on one guy?
If you can make a shooting test at a 9 difficulty, okay, you'll be able to spray more than one.
12.
Ah, very nice. Okay, so go ahead and make that shooting roll again, please.
Okay.
So for the actual attack.
Okay, 15.
Okay, so actually, because the shooting that you're using right now is a skill and not a power,
yep,
go ahead and take the highest 3 of those dice, and okay, that will be the actual score.
Okay, so that will be 11, 13.
Nice. Still an excellent score. Okay, so you open up, and you were trying to get both of these front 2 guys?
Yeah, if we get all three, if not just the two at the front, that's fine.
Nope, you'd pretty much be just splitting it between the 2.
Okay.
And they are going to try and defend. And do very poorly. So you see the guy in the front, he gets knocked down. So you hear a sound like almost like a baseball bat hitting a ball, and he gets knocked down pretty severely. The other one takes the brunt of it, and it looks like whatever you did just really perforated the crap out of him, and he goes down hard.
Okay. Good.
So pretty much a bloody mess, and he's not moving. That would be – next one up would be Mike.
Yeah, we just lost John again, I believe.
Oh, no.
So maybe we're
good. Oh, yes.
I know he had to split very soon.
Okay. Well, let me think. I can't reach anybody this round, can I?
You can reach the top guy. So he was shot at, but he wasn't shot.
Okay. Now the competency die I can just use once and it's gone, right? So that's not an option anymore.
So yep, you'll burn it right up.
Okay, so that's gone, so I'm back to 4D on my sledgehammer. So, all right, this dude, 40 sledgehammer to the head.
Go for it.
Oh, not great.
A 12, huh? Let's see. Ooh. This guy's proving to be pretty tough. All right, so you swing at him,
mm-hmm,
and he just kind of rolls to his right,
mm-hmm,
and skirts it. So, I mean, you caught a piece of, like, a shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So one of his armored shoulder plates flies off, mm-hmm, but it looks like he's still hanging tough. Let's see. Gunner already went. Bad guys. So the guy in front of you, they are going to try and attack. So he comes up and tries to has what looks like an armored glove on, and the glove sparks up almost as though it has it's charged with electricity.
Okay.
He swings in at you. Would you like to defend using your armor, or would you like to defend using what you tell me? Pick a trait on your sheet and whatever you think will. Oh, I hear John. Maybe.
Nope, it's still dialing.
No. So let's see. You can defend with your fortitude. Try and take the shot. Armor, same thing. So you've got a really tough hide. You could try and defend with fighting, trying to block it. tough decision. Oh, did we lose Mike too?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
he's phased out for a second.
Phased out for what were you saying?
Please.
Sorry.
Please use one of your resistances to try, or please use a stat, a resistance, aptitude, or power to try and avoid a shock glove from making your day uncomfortable.
It looks like my best bet there is 4D for fortitude.
So, okay, go ahead.
Let's roll that.
And
not great.
14. Yeah. Nope, he got a 7.
Oh, okay.
All right, so you have you have doubled what you needed in order to try and defend that. Mm-hmm. So does anything happen to him as a result?
How much can I make happen to him?
Not a whole lot, but, I mean, you know, you did overwhelm him with your defense. So, I mean, does the glove short out? Does, you know, I mean, whatever you want. You have the talking stick.
I have the talking stick. He gets a mild shock himself, and he is startled. And,
okay, so he hits you, the glove breaks, biofeedback goes right back into him, mm-hmm. and he drops.
Drops? Oh, okay, that's more than I was hoping for, but all right.
Nicely done. Nightshade.
Okay, same thing again. I'm just going to basically focus in on that one guy that is left.
Nightshade, every time, yes. time I killed a guy just for being so badass.
What's that?
In Nightshade, every time I killed a guy just for being so badass.
Yeah.
It was just now.
I'm just so damn cool. Right.
I'm playing this guy as kind of a Deadpool. I didn't mean to do that. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead and make that shot, eh?
Okay, so shots and guns is a 16.
Oof.
So just a single target this time. So.
And tries to defend. So you have a major success. What happens?
Okay, so I will basically just focus on body shots, and if I get a headshot in there as well, do so, and drop him as quickly as possible.
Okay, so you hear once again, you know, a sound like rain on a tin roof, and, you know, he jerks left and right and then hits the snow. The last guy, for his action, drops his rifle, goes to his knees, puts his arms behind his head.
Okay.
That's your call, Nightshade.
Well, these are about this guy's, yeah?
Yep.
This guy'd be dropped then, isn't he, really?
I'm back, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hey, John.
Oh, God. Sorry about that. It's happened to me again.
That's okay. We know what we're getting you for Christmas.
A new PC?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
All right, so Hammer took care of the guy to the north. In spectacular fashion, the guy tried to use a shock glove on him, and it didn't work. It smacked into his chest, broke, and then the guy electrocuted himself to death.
Nice.
Nightshade decided to use one of the last guys in the south as a bullet stop, and then the last of the four commandos, seeing all of the dead bodies littering blood in the snow, decided that
Enough was enough.
Yeah, he was done. So as Nightshade approaches, you hear like a click, as though he's, like a microphone is engaging. And he says to you, "There's no need to get violent. I am totally complying with whatever you have going on. Just put the blade and the bullets away, lady."
Okay. If you want a shot, John, go for it whilst he's on the ground. Otherwise, considering the last mission was destroy everybody in the complex, don't let anybody know. Just a guy actually works for Mantis shouldn't get a free pass, I'm afraid.
I agree totally. Let's face it, in 3 hours' time, this entire area is going to be just
that's true.
A pool of water, isn't it? So I'm not going to take him with us. So yeah, I'll just try and put him out of his misery.
We really don't want to take him along and use a for intel?
What's happened to you?
I don't know. I thought some maturity in this team. That's never mind.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, I'll leave it up to Nightshade's call. I've got him in my scopes. What do you want me to do?
I think you shoot him.
Okay, right, I'll take the shot.
Simple fact is, if we don't, we're going to have to drag him down with us.
All right, back. 13.
Oh. All right, so he's kneeling in the snow with his hands behind his back, and, you know, Nightshade just turns to face Gunner all that way away on that ridge, and she says, I just think we should shoot him. And he goes, no, wait, I surrender. And there's a huge explosion as his head comes apart, and he drops into the snow, leaving you all alone. And with nothing but you and some of the polar bears.
Lots of red markings all over the snow.
Oh, yeah. There's dead bodies littered all over the place in this thing. Just as you drop him, you hear a beeping going off in your watch, Gunner.
Ah.
Signaling the 10-minute mark. On the communications blackout. Now, did we want to hold there so that you guys can start up at the next session with advancing toward that ventilation shaft?
That's probably
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good. So try again in a week.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
All right, sounds good. All right, thanks everyone for listening. We'll try to get part two up as soon as possible. And this is the BAMF Podcast.